Happy New Year, everyone. And what a good day it is today. It's really hard to believe that, it's a good day, at least in my world. It's hard to believe that a new year is upon us. And with a new year, there always seems to be this opportunity to turn over a new leaf. It seems like with the churning of the calendar page, it's an opportunity to make changes. Now, we know that's true here at Advent, obviously, as we've already addressed this morning, as in this new year, we gather in our new space and changes are obvious. And with change comes a lot of excitement. It's fun to be in this new space, especially today at a different time with people from all three of our services gathered together in worship. But it's also different. And we know that especially over the next few months, there are going to be quite a few things that will be different, not only in worship as we gather in here, as construction begins really soon out in the lawn and all of the changes that we're going to see take place. But in addition to, even though it will be different, with it also comes exciting challenges, but also opportunities. I think opportunities is why there's always this idea at the new year that we can do things differently, because we see the turning of the calendar as a chance for new opportunities. So people tend to make all kinds of resolutions. Maybe many of you have made these for yourselves. With the coming of a new year, people say, I'm going to eat better, I'm going to exercise more, I'm going to be more conscious about my spending. Maybe the beginning of a new year means that you are making a new commitment to your spiritual growth in terms of your personal daily disciplines or joining a small group. Whatever those things may be for you, the new year presents us with the opportunity to kind of begin a new page or a new chapter, to reset. And so today, as we look into the Gospel of Matthew, we're going to meet some people who are really turning over a new page or beginning a new chapter on their journey. And so we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the last among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard that the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child was with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So today we're going to look at, as I said, people who are beginning a new chapter or a new journey. And that, of course, in this story is the wise men. And so I'm just going to tell you, I'm not normally a 1, 2, 3 kind of person, but today I'm going to tell you three of the things I think that we learn from the wise men in this passage. And so I'm just going to get right out with the first one. And the first thing I think we learn from them is the importance of the balance of study and lived experience. So I'm going to talk more about this. So we see that the wise men, we know by their name that they're wise. And so we presume that they spend a lot of time studying, and they do. We know that these men have studied the prophets. They've studied all kinds of ancient texts. They study the stars. And it's important to remember that these men aren't Jewish. And so the things that they've studied are far beyond just the Old Testament scriptures. And yet, because of all of their study, when they see this star in the sky, they know that it's a sign. And because of what they know, because of all the things they've already studied, they also know that they have to go to where the star is. Now, as Christians, we know that we need to study scripture, that being in small groups is important, that personal daily devotion is important, that this gives us deeper knowledge and understanding of our faith, of the ways that we are to live our lives as Christians. But what I also know is that it's no good if that's the only thing that we do. I mean, take an example outside of the church. I mean, let's talk about golf, for example. If you were to study golf for years, you know, all of the techniques, the rules of the game, if you watch hundreds of videos on the right way to swing a golf club, to putt, to drive the ball, you could do that for years. But do you think that you're going to, you know, finish a course on par the very first time you pick up a club? No, that's not going to happen, because if all you ever do is study the technique or watch videos, then that alone is not going to be enough to make you an expert golfer. And when we think about the wise men, if the wise men had only studied prophets and ancient texts and the stars, and they never even looked at the stars, then they would have missed the star that was shining above the child. Or even if they had seen it, if they hadn't been willing to act, to know the significance of the star and that they needed to go, then there would have only been minimal change in their life. Now, it's important to remember, as I already said, that the wise men aren't Jewish. And not only that, they live pretty far from Bethlehem. The wise men are believed to be from Persia, which is modern day Iran, which is more than 1,000 miles from Bethlehem. Think about all of the towns they traveled through on the way to see Jesus. Think about all of the people who lived a whole lot closer who completely missed the star and its significance. How often is it true that God is at work right under our noses and we miss it? Because the wise men were faithful in their study, they know what to look for, and when they see it, they know they have to act. And so they go. They travel over 1,000 miles. And I did some calculations on this. And if they were to go 25 miles a day, which would be a pretty full trek, if they went 25 miles a day, it would take a minimum of 40 days for them to make it to Bethlehem. Not only that, they don't have a map. They're following a star. So I don't know if their path was like the most direct route possible. And they don't go straight to Bethlehem. We learn in the story that they go first to Jerusalem. And when they arrive in Jerusalem, it appears that no one has noticed this star. Now, they're in Jerusalem. This is the holy city. This is where the temple is, where God's believed to reside. And the people haven't noticed the star, or certainly don't know its significance. And so suddenly, when King Herod and the people learn the news that the wise men are coming looking for the Messiah, for the king, they begin to panic. And they hear the words of the prophet Micah. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is shepherd to my people. As he arrives in Jerusalem, it seems there the Jewish people there don't even know the words of the prophet. They're not looking. This is clearly news to Herod. It's news to other people. And Herod freaks out. He calls the wise men in for a special consult. And he asks them to report back once they find this king. Now, he tells them that it's to pay the king homage. But what we know and later read in the story, that it's actually because he wants to eliminate any threat to his own power. Eventually, the wise men set out from Jerusalem, and they finally arrive in Bethlehem to see Jesus. Now, at this point, it's pretty unlikely that Jesus is still in the manger, because as we've already said, it was a minimum of 40 days travel for them to even get there. And they had this pit stop in Jerusalem. We don't know how direct the path of the star is. So it's really likely that Jesus is at least a few months old at this point. He's probably in a house, maybe where they're living for the time being. When the wise men arrive, they tell us in verse 10 that they are overwhelmed with joy. The wise men are overwhelmed with joy, and they kneel down and they pay homage and they present these gifts, these really nice, expensive gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Jesus. Which leads us to the second thing that we learn from the wise men, that we learn of the incorporation, the welcoming of foreigners and outsiders with the coming of Jesus. Now, this is something we certainly see later in his life and in ministry, but even as an infant, Jesus is welcoming these wise men, these men who saw the star from over 1,000 miles away, which I don't think was just a coincidence. And then they see the star from thousands of miles away, and yet they make the journey. They travel all of that way to come and see this king, and their presence doesn't go unnoticed. I mean, the only other people we're told who come to see Jesus are the shepherds, meaning the wise men's presence holds great significance. And they travel and they realize what most Jewish people couldn't see, that this king was lying right there, right under their noses in the city of Bethlehem. And they travel all this way with expensive gifts to come and worship a king who they don't even know if he will be theirs, because they're not Jewish. He's not their people. Yet even as an infant, we already see the way that Jesus is welcoming the outsiders into the promise. Now, we don't know how long the wise men stay. I would think after such a long journey that they'd at least stay for a little while, but we're not sure. And I would also think, though, that Mary, as a new mother, was not too keen on long-term strange house guests. So we're really not sure how long they're there. But with their departure, we learn the third thing from the wise men, that Jesus puts us on a new, unfamiliar path. The wise men are told, we read in the scripture, that they are to go home a different way, by a different road. Now, this is in part for practical reasons, because King Herod has his own plans to kill Jesus and maybe them in the process. And so they're warned to go home a different way for their safety and the safety of Jesus. But I also think this different path is symbolic for them of what lies ahead. Because after meeting Jesus, they aren't the same. They won't be the same. There's a United Methodist pastor who serves a church in Charlotte. His name is James Howell. And he was reflecting on the journey of the Magi and their thoughts throughout this experience and once they return home. And so I'm going to read you a quote from him. And in it, he also quotes T.S. Eliot. So there's a lot of things going on here, but we're going to go with it anyways. So he says this: T.S. Eliot imagined the thoughts of the Magi back home. We return to our places, but no longer at ease here. In the old dispensation, with an alien people clutching their gods. Jesus does not make my life more comfortable. Jesus doesn't help me fit in and succeed. We are no longer at ease in a world not committed to Jesus. We notice false gods all over the place. We detect royal pretenders. Nothing is the same. Nothing comes easy. A strange, unfamiliar road is now our path. But the road is going somewhere. After you encounter Jesus, you can't stay on the same road, which means that this new road is unfamiliar. But as I thought back on my own faith journey, I realized that more of my faith journey than not has felt like this vastly unfamiliar road. That my decision to even follow Jesus, get more serious about my faith in middle school, was one where I really had no idea what that meant or where on earth I would be going. I just knew I was in. I think about the various leadership roles I've had in my home church or in college ministry or seminary or here now. About being a pastor, about being one of the pastors here at Advent. How it's all an unfamiliar road. This road has led me to unfamiliar people, places, countries across the world. And yet I also know that in some of the moments that were most unfamiliar, they were also the times where I had the greatest confidence that I was going somewhere. That God was leading me, leading us to exciting places. As we said, today is the beginning of an unfamiliar road, whether an unfamiliar road in the year 2017, the beginning of an unfamiliar road here at Advent, in our temporary space with construction. But yet, even though parts of it are unfamiliar, there's also this strong sense of direction. I think it's in part because of the other things we've learned from the wise men, because of our faithfulness, of your faithfulness in studying Scripture, in engaging, in learning and growth with one another, and our eagerness and willingness to act on it. We're here in part because of your willingness to welcome the outsider, to welcome people outside of the walls, those who aren't already here. We're here because you have all encountered Jesus. And because of that, your life, just like that of the wise men, is never going to be the same. And it's put you on this new path, a path that we are all on together. At times it's scary, at times it may be unfamiliar, but we also know that that star is shining bright in the sky. And like that of the wise men, this road, this path holds the possibility of being overwhelmed with joy time and time again as we encounter Jesus and he works within us. So let us, as we begin this new year and this new turn on the path, let us recommit ourselves to study, to community with one another, to continuing to open our hearts and arms wide to those all around us. The road may be unfamiliar, but is one full of joy. So let's go. Amen.
Will you stand with us?